what he's laid on my heart is not so much a message, or I don't know if you would consider it preaching. I really don't know how this is going to go, but if you would allow me to, I just want to share my heart with you for a little while. I just want to share with you what he's been preaching to me all week. As we get into this, you'll understand that I've got a lot of faults and failures. But I believe God can take this, what he's laid on my heart, and use it. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. More than likely, we will not be here long tonight. But I do feel like this needs to be said. Romans chapter 12. And if you would, please stand when you found your place. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I had to title this tonight, I would title it Complete Surrender. Complete Surrender. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, God, you know the struggles, Lord. You know the heartaches. And yet you know the needs of your people. You know why that you have been preaching this in my heart and life. And you know who all needs it here tonight, dear God. And I thank you for the song service. Dear God, I thank you for walking in and out of the chairs and the aisles of this building and so meeting with us, dear God. I thank you for the preaching of your word and the truths that we're presenting. And I ask simply this, dear God, that you would take this simple truth, take what is on my heart, dear God, and transplant it into the hearts and lives of your people. Not, dear God, because I'm anything special, but because I believe it has been divinely placed by you, Lord. And I know that, dear God, we all struggle with this from time to time. Now, dear God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord. God, if you don't empower me, if you don't use me, if you don't speak through me tonight, dear God, then I might as well never put on this microphone and gotten up here, dear God. I have nothing that could help anybody here tonight, dear God, outside of you. And I pray that you would do a mighty work. Be with our lips, guide our words, dear God, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you. We ask these things in the precious blood-stained name of Jesus. Amen. This really started sometime back during youth camp. It was made mention that I'd asked them to be seeking God and Him doing something in their hearts and lives during this week. Well, pretty much everything that I recommend and suggest to the young people is what I'm dealing with in my life. I'll just be honest about it. I wish that I could say that I have arrived. And I wish that I could say that I have endless bounds of wisdom that I could impart to your teenagers or even you yourselves here tonight. I wish that I could say that I had a level of education that I could at least get up here and sound properly. But I can't even do that. But it's okay. Because I know why I'm standing here tonight. And it's not because of me. It's because He called me for whatever reason. And because this is what He told me to do. And the only times in my life when anything good has ever came out of it It's when I was following the leadership of Him. And the only way that you can do that is to be completely surrendered unto Him. I don't know the situations and circumstances of many of your lives. If you're anything like my family, we prefer not to reveal them because they're embarrassing. Let's just be honest about it. But I know that every time in my life that the relationship has been where it needed to be with my wife, there is a peace, a joy, a safety, a relationship that can't be explained. If you knew me, you would understand what I'm talking about. I messed this thing up with my kids. The only time anything good has ever came out of it is when I've been completely surrendered unto Him. On a daily basis, my life is brought into perspective in my mind by the evil one. And I'm reminded of how much that I've really messed this thing up. But then the Lord reminds me that if you'll just go with me, then I'll take nothing and I'll make something. So tonight I just want to share with you about this complete surrender. Completely surrender. See, you can't straddle the fence. You can't have a little bit of this and a little bit of him. It's all or nothing. You wonder why everything's tormented in your life, from your job to your home to your kids to your parents to your family. It's because he don't have all of you. So preacher, you're saying if he's got all of me, it's going to be a bed of roses. No, sure won't. In some situations, it might get worse. But the personal relationship that you have with Him will provide a joy and a peace,
amen,
that can't be told, can't be explained, can only be felt between you and Him. And if you'll take care of that and get where you need to be with Him, He'll take care of the rest. You've probably heard me say this before. I used to try to change my wife. I'm good at that, ain't I, baby? But you know what? She was lost. And she didn't get saved until I quit trying to fix her and just started working on myself. My kids. People tell me I've got good boys. If you only knew them. But they should be torment on wheels with the life that their dad lived before. But because I give it all to him, then he did what I couldn't.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He made something out of nothing.
Amen.
I want to take time just to break down these verses for a minute. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. Now when he says present your bodies, that's everything. That covers mind, body, soul, everything. He didn't say, give me your hand or your heart or your head. He said, give me your bodies. A living sacrifice. Now that word living is the hardest part about this verse. See, a dead sacrifice, when it gets on the altar, what happens? It stays there. Thinking about old Isaac. He was a living sacrifice. I wonder how many times he tried to get off that altar. I don't know. Maybe he did realize the faith that Abraham had. But if it had been me, I'd have been kicking and screaming. Then again, I'm not half as godly as they are. The problem with a living sacrifice is whenever it's been on the altar too long, it wants to get back up. One of the biggest struggles that I have, that song that the girls sing, Nail It to the Cross. I'll bring my tokens up here to God, and I'll nail it to the cross. God, it's yours. I can't handle it. If I could fix it, it'd already be fixed. It's yours. Walk away. Leave it there. It goes good for a week or however. God puts his finger on something else in my life. I come and nail it to the cross. Well, God, I think you had that other one long enough. I can handle it now. I've got victory. Just take it back with me. See, what God wants us to do first, how do you know he wants you to nail it to the cross? I know there's some questions at least going through your minds. If he has ever convicted you of it as being sin, then he wants it out of your life. Period. I don't care what it is. Over in Hebrews, the writer says, lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Now that weight are the things that are not necessarily considered sin, but slow us down, because he's talking about running the race. Do you have anything in your life that's slowing you down? I hate these things. I see not just a generation, but generations being destroyed by this electronic leash. Well, there's some of you sitting here tonight saying, I ain't got a problem with it. When's the last time you left it at home? When's the last time you left your Bible at home? When's the last time you left it at home and turned around to go get it? Because you couldn't make it through the day without it. You know what I'm talking about. As Brother Eddie would say, you're looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate. Anytime you leave something behind in your life, or it's all you think about and you can't get away from it, then whatever it is controlling you, you're not controlling it. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Many of you here tonight are saying, well, this preacher sure is asking a lot. The Word of God says it's a reasonable service. What's the word reasonable mean? Fair. A fair service for us to give how much? All. Not some, all. Why is it reasonable? How much did he give on the cross? If he hadn't have gave it all, what hope would we have today? And he said he did it with joy, the joy of the cross. The pain, the suffering, the scourging, the beating. He did it with joy. Why can't we present ourselves with joy? Every time he convicts our heart, every time he lays something on our mind, we start pouting like a 3-year-old kid not getting its way. Well, I need this, God. No, you don't. You need me. Well, I want this, God. Well, if you have that, then you can't have me. Do you realize every need, every issue, every answer is waiting before us? Waiting before us. And we choose stuff like this instead of Him. How many people are going to die and go to hell because of social media? How many people are going to die and go to hell because of anything in our lives? What do we spend most of our time doing? Guys, this may sound rough. I am simply just relaying what God has said to me this week. He has blatantly asked me the question, what are you doing with your life? People are dying and going to hell. Teenagers are being drugged out by the grove into this world. And you're the youth leader at Linwood Baptist Church. What are you doing with your life? Parents, what are you doing with your life? Your teens, some may be on their way to hell. Others getting involved in things they don't need to be involved with. Grandparents. I mean, what do we think when God has clearly laid it out in His Word and given us a perfect instruction book, and then we deny and don't even pay attention to the words on the pages? He's waiting. He never left us. And He only wants what's best. In verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be molded by this world. If you take your average day, we're not going to use Sunday. Most of us got this figured out. We're here on Sunday night. So we look like we know what we're doing. So on Monday, if you were to take a sinner that you work with in the same line of work, in the same school system, however you want to put it, what would be considered as your peer, and you line up their day and you line up your day, who's molding who? But the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing. That renewing is like, it means renovation or complete change for the better. So if you line up your life with a lost person, how much difference is it? Is there any difference? Well, I know I'm going to heaven. Are you going to take anybody with you? I'll share something else that breaks my heart every day. One of the things that's thrown up in my face is if I only knew how many people I personally ushered to the gates of hell. I live with that on a daily basis. How many people have I personally ushered to the gates of hell? Because I refuse to do what is considered to be a reasonable service. See, the problem is we hear things like this. I'm guilty. I'll come down here and get it right. And then go home and never put into practice what the preacher just preached about. See, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. There was a time in my life, don't get me wrong, God's been good. I could stand here all night, tell you stories of blessings God has bestowed on my life. But there was a time, there's been more than one. Shamefully, it's not right now. That I walked hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Himself. And if you had told me that He wasn't standing next to me, I'd have called you a bald-faced liar. Because when I went to bed at night, I was praying and singing His songs, and He tucked me in. And when I got up in the morning, He's the one that pulled the covers back. All hell breaking loose in my life. And I looked like I was on Easy Street because I was resting in the Master's arms. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. So you think I'm crazy. But let me tell you this. If you ever get there just once, nothing else will ever suffice. All the money in the world, all the happiness, all the blessings in your life are nothing compared to His sweet presence every second of the day in your life. By God's grace, I'm going with Him. And I'm going to get back to there if He'll take me. And I'm not turning back this time. There's too much riding on this thing. Time's too short. We are just one step away from those pearly gates. So many more are just one step away from hell. I ask that when you pray for me. I can't explain it. I wish I could. I tried tonight. Just to share with you what's been on my heart. But there's a hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. And He tells me from His precious word, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what it is, and I'm not saying it's easy. But I am telling you, He will go with you every step of the way and show you things that you could never imagine. But there's one condition. He's got to have it all. Not part of it. Don't bring your tokens up here one at a time. If He has convicted your heart about sin, then you lay it all down. All down. And don't turn back. He'll help you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I thank You. You're so merciful. You're so gracious and You're so good, dear God. I can't quit thinking about the story that was told during youth camp about that young lady that turned their back on You and was killed. You know my heart, dear God. I asked You, why did You spare me, God? I don't know that there's ever been another that spat in Your face like that. I don't know if there's another that's trampled You like I have. God, You've been good to me. And I simply ask this, dear God, that what we talked about tonight, what we preached about for a little while, would not just be a sermon, dear God, or a message to Your people. I pray it'd be a truth in my life, dear God. God, I don't need Your fortune. I don't need Your fame, dear God. I just want You. And I pray also, dear God, that You would work in the hearts and lives of Your people. God, I know there's great struggles here tonight, and I pray that You'd give victory. Dear God, I ask for that one that might not surrender tonight, dear God, would You Would you be as persistent with them as you've been with me, Lord? God, even to greater lengths, if that's what it takes, God. God, do a mighty work. God, we see what you did with 12. And one of those was a devil. What could you do with this group of people, dear God, if we'd just get out of your way? Fall in line, dear God. Fall head over heels in love with you. God, I thank you for your help. Now do what only you can do in this time, dear God. Minister to your people. We thank you and praise you. We ask these things in the precious bloodstained name of Jesus. Amen. Do you thirst?